and try to gather some more understanding for what that means in these texts. So, the word that is used here in this creation narrative to describe humanity is Adam, or Adam. And this is, it's more, there's more meaning to it than just the proper noun, the name that we use it for today, Adam. It's this neutral term. It does not mean male or female. It is a neutral term that just means human. And all references to Adam or Adam are neutral until God creates, he takes some of Adam's flesh and creates Eve, creates a female. And at that point is then when the terminology shifts, and Adam is then called a man, Ish, and Eve is called woman, Isha. And the Hebrew word Isha hints at her origins from man, Ish, kind of like we have in English, man and woman. But interestingly, Adam is not called that beforehand. He's only called that once Eve has been created, once woman has been created and separated from him. It's as if this text is kind of implying that there is this way that you can't define one without the other. And while we could take this on a whole track of gender and all of that large discussion, which I would love to do at some point with you, while we could take it that way, that's not the way we're taking it today. But what we have here is that these two are defined in their God-given name. They are defined in relation to one another. To be human, to be God's created beings, is to be in relationship, both with God and with one another. And so here I want to challenge us to have a little bit of an open mind. And throughout this series, and really just in general, I love to have conversations with people about things that are difficult, about things that are amazing, about things that are confusing. And I will admit that I promise that I will not have the right answer all the time. But I always want to be committed to journeying with you all in finding that, in finding answers to questions and answers to hard things. So, quick aside, I would love to have a conversation. If you disagree about anything that I say or have questions about anything that I say, just give me a jingle. But in this case, this passage is talked about. So this passage, the end of chapter 2, right before where Zoe read for us this morning, it is talking about man and woman created and being made one flesh. And so this passage, the challenging part that I will admit I've been challenged with a little bit too, is that this is not just about marriage. It's not singularly about marriage. Humans do not need to be married to be in the image of God. But humans do need to be in relationship. And that's not romantic relationship, that is in relationship with one another. We need one another so that we can be complete and we can be whole and we can be as God initially designed us and created us to be. God has a perspective on aloneness in chapter 2. He says that it is not good for man to be alone. And so we learn that his perspective on human aloneness is to be in relationship. And he creates Eve. He creates a helper for man, for Adam. But it's not just any kind of relationship that he creates here. It's a relationship that is characterized by incredible unity and accountability and vulnerability, sharing things like love and commitment. It is a deep relationship. This ideal picture is one of safety and vulnerability, trust and acceptance of the other. And again, I do not believe that God created us, created humans to be in the image of God only if we are married. But this depth of relationship often shows itself, often is in its fullest and most complete and purest form in a committed, trusting relationship, marriage relationship, covenant relationship. When man and woman marry, it says that they become one flesh. They return to God's original design before the ish and the isha were separated. When the two become one, that is right relationship with one another, right relationship with God. It's the two together living in relationship. Have you heard relationship enough? Good, I'll say it some more. Now, obviously, as we'll talk about in the coming weeks, we are distinct people. We are unique individuals. We are different from one another. And that is a good thing. Adam and Eve were different from each other. I'm sure they had different likes, different dislikes. They looked, obviously, different. We all look different. And that is a good thing. But the important thing that we're looking at is that although we are different and distinct, we are connected to one another. We're made to be reflections of God's character, representatives of his rule, and encouragers of creation's potential, creation's beauty and order. And this beauty and this order is what God created out of nothingness. But it's what humanity, as we'll see now as we're getting ready to jump into our actual passage this morning, we will see that humanity turns from that. Humanity rebels from this beauty and this order. So all this understanding of human relationship, that we are literally created to be in relationship. God designed us to be in relationship, 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 relationship. This understanding of human relationship is where we find Adam and Eve right at the end of chapter 2, very beginning of chapter 3. The last chapter ends with, "The two of them were naked, the man and his wife, but they were not embarrassed, because they were without sin. They had nothing to hide. They had nothing to be ashamed of. They were completely blameless. They were living in right relationship with one another and right relationship with God." And then in comes this evil snake that tries to trick humanity into sinning, right? I don't know if it's quite like that, but that's what we like to think. And whenever I read this passage, I think, how many people have seen The Jungle Book? Yeah. You remember the snake? His name is Ka. My sinuses. That quote sticks in my mind. That's what I picture when I read this passage, for good or bad. But he's this super long snake that's always trying to eat Mowgli, the man cub. And he tricks people by kind of hypnotizing them with his eyes so that they become desensitized, and then he can consume his prey. It's been a while since I've seen it. I don't think he actually ever gets to eat his prey. He always gets slapped around or something. But what's interesting here, this idea of the serpent, is that the serpent is not lying to Eve. The serpent is simply trying to trick and asking questions that might trick her into rebelling against God. He just asks her kind of to check her memory. Like, do you remember what God said? And if we remember from chapter 2, God commands human, who is neutral at the time, has not been separated into man and woman, to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this command was given to Adam, was given to Adam, before Eve, before woman. So the question that arises, you know, a question I'm going to ask, is it man's fault or is it woman's fault? Was Adam supposed to tell her? Did God tell Eve directly? Chicken or the egg sort of a thing? We don't know. I don't know. But we do know that Eve at least somewhat knew what this command was. Although she does misquote it a little bit. She says that that if you even touch it, that you will die, which in God's original instruction it does not say. But the serpent, in all of this, the serpent is the one who is crafty or cunning. We don't know a whole lot else about the serpent, though. But what we do know, the important thing to note here about the serpent, is that it is also one of God's creations, right? Which is, it's a difficult tension that God created this being that is now trying to trick humanity into rebelling against God. But it is one of God's creations. And because God allows for free will, because God allows for choice, this creature has chosen to rebel against God and is trying to lure humanity into doing the same, into rebellion. And there's some irony here that the serpent is trying to trick Eve by saying that the fruit will make her like God. And the irony there is that she is already like God, right? She has been created in God's image. She is living in right relationship with Adam. She is living in right relationship with God. They are already the image of God, God's representation on earth. But in this moment, Eve and then Adam choose apart from that. They choose to rebel. They make this decision to search for wisdom, to search for knowledge, to search for understanding apart from God. They seek to be like God. And as I talked about just a second ago, God has created out of nothing. I showed the teens a couple weeks ago an image of the Hebrew cosmos. I won't get into those details, but God has created out of nothing. He has formed earth. He has formed everything. And in that, there is order, right? He has brought order to the chaos, to the nothingness. He has brought something to nothing. And so when God allows us to have free will, we have the choice to choose our own way, to choose apart from God's creation, God's design, God's order. And in that, although he is grieved, he allows there to be a return to this lack of order, to this nothingness, to this death and darkness. And what we see throughout Scripture that kind of initiates here is that humanity chooses a rebellion. God allows it. He gives us this choice. He gives us the ability to choose. And that choice leads to this lack of order. Things descend back into chaos. But sin is about more than just doing bad things. It's about how we, like Adam and Eve, easily deceive ourselves into thinking that we know what's best, to redefine our bad decisions as good ones. We have this tendency towards self-deception, and it runs deep. It's rooted in our desires, and it's rooted in our selfish urges, and those compel us to act for our own benefit, often at the expense of others. Adam and Eve deceived themselves into thinking that going against God's command or desire would in some way make them like God. And in that sin, there were two main casualties. And I'm going to list them in order of how we see them in Scripture, not in order of importance. The first is human relationship. That is a casualty of this decision, of this sin. They realize their own vulnerability and they hide from one another. They realize that they are naked. They realize that they are exposed. They realize and they are ashamed. So that's the first casualty. The second casualty is intimacy between God and between humanity. Right? They hide from God. They hide themselves. And then when God calls them out, they start playing the blame game. She made me do it. This woman that you gave me, she made me do it. And this serpent that you created, he made me do it. Right? This sin, this, it draws lines, it creates divisions, it causes that versus in us versus them. The sin is a failure to be what God created us to be, which is in right relationship with one another and right relationship with God. They're failing to be truly human, failing to love God, failing to love one another in the way that they deserve, in the way that they were intended to be. So, what does this have to do with anything? What does this have to do with us versus them? I think it has quite a bit to do with it. And we'll be looking at this over the next couple of weeks. But I hope that we realize a few things here. That when we draw lines, that when we create divisions, that when we do something that separates us from them, even if we don't realize, when we do that, we are sinning. When we are creating division, when we are pulling ourselves apart from the rest of God's creation, the rest of God's designed order, we are sinning. We're living outside of what God has created us to be. Right? We have been created to be in right relationship, in perfect relationship with God and with one another. Which is difficult to do, I will admit. But that's what the next 2 weeks are about. When we are in disunity with God, we are in disunity with one another. And when we are in disunity with one another, we are in disunity with God. It's this cycle. It's this battle. And when we do this, when we sin, when we create these divisions, bad things happen. And I think we see that in the world around us. That bad things happen when we separate ourselves, not only from those people who disagree with us or who are making decisions that are opposed to what I think is right. That's not the main issue. The main issue is, can we continue to be in relationship with them, in right relationship with them, working to create unity where it's just as easy, it's far easier, really, to create division. So what I hope that we see here, and what I hope that we will see in the coming weeks, is that this issue is not about, it's not us versus them, right? We are all us. We are all humans. We have all been created in the image of God, if we choose to live into it. And so the issue is not us versus them. It's, if I can use a pastoral turn of phrase, it's us versus sin. The issue is that we so often choose to partner with the wrong thing. We choose to partner with what we think is right. We choose to partner with what we think the best outcome would be, when really we are designed, created to be partnering with one another in all of the muck and in all of the beauty, right? We are called to partner with one another and partner with God. So the worship team is going to come back up here, and they're going to play a song that I love. I hope you will come to love it as well. It's called For the One. And it's very possible that you have not heard this song before, and that is okay. But there's a very simple and powerful message. I'm going to read real quick before we sing it, the first verse and the chorus. It says, "Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one for whom you loved and gave your son. For humanity, increase my love." Help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. That when they look in my eyes, they would see you, even in just a smile. They would feel the Father's love. With all of the division, with all of the lines that have been drawn, with all of the ways in which we so easily fall into the trap of us versus them, as we sing this song, I hope that this would be your prayer. And we're going to be singing this the next 3 weeks, so I really hope it would be your prayer. That we would erase all the lines and see the truth. The truth of who we were created and designed to be. And love all of humanity as God loves humanity. Let's worship.